Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Tonight on Manchester United, the soap opera, the team arrive late for a Champions League game at their own ground, so kickoff has to be delayed. United failed to win for a fourth successive game. Manager Jose Mourinho has a vocal spar off with the Greater Manchester Police, and Man United's club captain likes a post on Instagram calling for the manager to be sacked next week. Who knows? Yes, it's getting ridiculous now. Welcome to Series 4, Episode 8 of the Manchester United Weekly Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully we're less dull and predictable than United under Mourinho, but who knows? Today we're talking a 3-1 loss to West Ham and a 0-0 draw at home to Valencia, and considering Mourinho's tactics, whether it actually is all his fault. And yes, of course, there's some Edward Wood bashing, and yes, again, of course, we talk about Paul Pogba, because it just wouldn't really feel right if we didn't. And as always, we have our extensive youth and loan roundup too. Jack, United fans used to go to Old Trafford asking kind of how many will we score, how many will we win by? And the question now is, will we win and will we create any chances at all? And I think I saw a good line in a piece I read after the Valencia game that fear and doubt is all we have now.
That's a really good way of summing up, as terrible as that is, because that's what this team is at the moment. It is fear and unpredictability. It looks like we're scared to lose the game in a lot of ways, which ends up with us being much more likely to actually lose the game. And going forward, it's a shambles at the moment. It really is. There's absolutely no understanding between the players. It's just 11 people all trying to do everything themselves, which obviously is just not going to happen. And there was, against Valencia, I think it took us until past the 70th minute to have a meaningful shot on goal. Against the side that, you know, Valencia are a decent side, but defensively, they're not great. And they're a side that we should, even if we're not beating them, we should at least be putting them under some serious pressure. And it took until really the last 5 minutes, when we had a string of corners and free kicks, for us to put them under any sort of sustained pressure. And even then, when you've got delivery like what Rashford was putting in for most of the game, where I think he beat the first man on about 10% of his corners, it's not really going to happen. So, yeah, it was another very poor performance, another sign that this team is, like you said, just very, very dull and predictable. That is the perfect way to sum it up. It's not entertaining. And watching United games now, even as a diehard United fan, watching the games at the moment is a bit like a chore. And it just is, because it's so, so dull. And you know exactly what the performance is going to be when you turn it on. And that is so, so, so frustrating. As, you know, as we're all massive United fans, and we love to watch United play. That's all we really want to do. And yet, this team at the moment has managed to almost suck the life out of the club. The life will never go out of the club, but it sucked the life out of this team and out of the performances at the moment.
There was a funny tweet I saw last night as well, which said the singing section at Old Trafford went quiet for about a minute. And he thought, there's no way that Jose Mourinho has even managed to suck the life out of the singing section, which is pretty much non-stop throughout the game. It's like an away end. And even they were a bit quiet on Tuesday evening. And yeah, It is a chore. I can't imagine any neutrals are watching United, and even if they're paid to do so or they choose to do so, I can't imagine they're enjoying it unless it's a big win for like West Ham, in which case they play a lot better than we do. But instead of kind of going through methodically the two games, because the West Ham game was atrocious, and there was questions about the effort and the attitude, particularly from Scholes and Rio Ferdinand on BT Sport, which was right, because the effort shown against West Ham was abysmal from every single player. Rashford came on, scored.
The sprint stats shown on Monday Night Football were shocking.
I have some reservations about them, because I think even in games that we win, United under Mourinho and even under Van Gaal as well has been a very possession kind of focused centric team, where we've had the ball and we've slowly created chances and we've moved up the pitch quite slowly. So I'm not that surprised. I think even in games we win, our sprint stats would be pretty low. So it concerns me, because I don't want it to be like that. I don't want us to play like that, but I don't think it's necessarily a sign that we are suddenly much worse than we were, and we're suddenly putting a lot less effort than we were. But everyone could see against West Ham that we didn't have the required attitude and mentality and effort. Valencia, we saw a bit more effort. Certainly, I think we saw Sanchez working harder. He came back into the team. Everyone was working harder. But still, there could have been a lot more from United and from United's players. But rather than talking about two games, Mourinho's tactics, I think, is probably the best thing to talk about. First, we saw failed Premier League strikers in Batshuayi and Rodrigo constantly receiving the ball to feet and just walking through. We saw Gabriel, the former Arsenal defender, and Gonzalo Guedes, the Portuguese star who kind of lit up the World Cup for Portugal a bit, just easily walking through to the final third. And it's because we had these two flat lines. We played a 4-1-4-1 against Valencia, and some ridiculous formation of a kind of a 3-5-2, but not really, because everyone was terrible against West Ham. 4-1-4-1 against Valencia. We had two flat lines of four with Matic in between, covering the whole space. It took 6 minutes for Valencia to work out how to play against it, which was just putting two players on Matic and basically making him pointless while making space for the rest of the team. And they just walked through. And there was no pressure on the defence. There was one moment, I think, where Gabriel had the ball. Lukaku kind of just let him stroll forward. Then Pogba let him stroll forward. Then Matic let him stroll forward. And suddenly he's faced off with Chris Smalling. Gabriel, the Arsenal defender, playing in defence for Valencia, is suddenly about 4 metres away from United's penalty area, having just strolled across the entire length of the pitch. That's partly down to effort, yes, but it's also down to the tactics of when are we pressing them. And United basically ended up man-marking Valencia. They were man-marking Valencia's attackers and midfielders, and suddenly the defenders were just strolling through, and you're thinking, why is no one putting pressure on them? Because they're staying on their men. But that suddenly means Valencia are in the final third in about 2 minutes. In United, it takes us about 17 minutes to get to anywhere near Valencia's final third and do anything with the ball. And that is one small example of just weird tactics that don't make sense and don't change throughout the game. They're not adaptable.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, again, it was just us, like you said, not adapting during the game. Fair, but I was actually impressed with the way that Valencia sort of figured out that system and managed to do that so quickly. And yet, we just did nothing all game. We just let it happen again and again. And there were so many times where normally Guedes down the left was just getting in behind Antonio Valencia, and then he'd be one-on-one with either Bai, Smalling or Matic, whoever came over. There was one moment actually in the first half that I think, it was just a shocking piece of play from everyone involved, but it really showed me that, you know, there's just a lack of understanding from everyone in this team. Guedes had got in behind Antonio Valencia and he was running down the left flank. I think it was just after Fellaini had lost the ball very early on in the game. And then Fellaini's trying to sprint back. Guedes is going towards the sort of left corner of our penalty area. And at the same time, all three of Fellaini, Matic and Bailly try and go out to shut down Guedes. And then leave Rodrigo and I might have been Parejo at the back stick, Free in the box with just Smalling with them, who wasn't marking either of them.
Yeah.
And Guedes tries to put the cross in. It takes a nick off one of the three players and just about squeezes through to De Gea. But I mean, three people all stepping out to the same guy. That's the kind of thing you learn about when you're in school.
But then I remember a separate moment in the game where I think it was Rodrigo on the left flank who got past Valencia because Valencia his discipline in terms of positioning is absolutely abysmal, given how poor he is in attack as well. Rodrigo gets past Valencia. He's on the left flank by himself, and then no one goes towards him. They all stay in the area. And so it's either it's one extreme or the other, and both are terrible. But it's just that playing two lines of four against a team who, despite having struggled in La Liga this season, remain a good passing side, they just played straight right through it. And a better side would have torn us apart. Matic isn't good enough to marshal the entire defence. The defence is rubbish behind him. There's no creativity in midfield because Fellaini was in it. The idea of playing two defensive midfielders in any game has to stop. Against big teams, I can just about accept it fine, because it's protecting the defence, which is pretty weak anyway. But in a home match against a struggling team from a different league, defensive midfielders are doing nothing. They're not creating, they're not shielding the defence. When the fullbacks go up, they don't cover. What's the point? And you can take that throughout the entire team. The wingers aren't covering for the fullbacks. They drift inside aimlessly, then they don't come back to defend. There's no shape to United whatsoever. And the only shape we do have is sometimes in defence against Valencia. We had a four, then one, then four, then one. And they just walked right straight through it. And you just thought, what quite is it we're trying to do here? And it doesn't make sense. And Mourinho is such a manager that has thrived off consistency in his teams. Not just, we've mentioned it quite a lot in the last few weeks about the spine and how maybe we have that now. We said maybe we've got that with De Gea, Smalling, Lukaku, Pogba. But A, we don't. We've quite clearly seen that in the last few weeks. But also, it hasn't always just been the spine for Mourinho. We've said you can name his Chelsea Premier League winning sides in 2005 and in 2014 or 15 or whatever. Inter Milan, you can name his treble winning side. Real Madrid, you could pretty much name his side with Pepe and Ramos, etc. And then Varane coming in. United, 43 games in a row that we've made changes to our starting lineup. But it's not just our starting lineup, it's our formation. West Ham, we played 3-5-2. Valencia, 4-1-4-1. Derby, I think it was 4-2-3-1. The game before that against Wolves was a slight variation. I think 4-3-2-1. It's just, why are we tinkering so much with the starting 11? Because I get changing the personnel, but at least have some kind of consistency in a formation. It smacks of Mourinho not knowing, A, what his best team is in terms of personnel, but also, he doesn't seem to know what he's trying to achieve with this United starting team.
It goes back to what we've been saying for the last few weeks, in that it just doesn't seem like this United team is progressing at all, because I don't think anyone really knows what we're trying to progress towards. Like, the thing is, like you said, changing personnel, that happens. People are in bad form, you get injuries, suspensions, people need a rest, whatever, it is what it is. And you completely expect that. But what you have to expect from, I think, any top team is that there is a system, and even at its most simple sort of level, there is a formation in place that everyone in the team understands, and everyone who could be playing, even if they're not a regular, understands, okay, if I'm playing this weekend, this is the role I'm expected to play. If I'm in this position, this is the role I'm expected to play. And just chopping and changing formation every single week is just making that even harder. You know, we don't need to bang on about how we don't have a system going forward, because we've already covered that so much in the last few weeks. But this is just making it even worse, because not only do we not have an attacking system, we don't have any sort of, I don't even know what it's called, any sort of rigid plan, I guess, when we go into a game. It seems to change week to week. It's like, just, it's almost like every week Mourinho is just picking 11 players and a formation out of a hat, and then just throwing them on the pitch and seeing what happens. And that's why we're just not seeing any progress, and that's why we see, I think anyway, why we see so many of our players, when we're going forward, trying to just do everything themselves, because they don't understand the role that everyone else around them is supposed to be playing. And when a lot of our forwards are in not great form, which they are at the moment, you know, in some games, relying on individual brilliance is enough with the players that we have.
Yeah.
But our players are not good enough to bail Mourinho out like they were able to at Chelsea, and especially at Madrid when he had Ronaldo. Our players, especially at the moment, they're not in good form, aren't able to win games single-handedly at the moment.
Well, look at, I mean, you talk about good form. I was just thinking about Romelu Lukaku. He missed a great head against Valencia, but that wasn't even it. He was so static. It was unbelievable. He's yet another player in this United team, like Sanchez was for ages, like Pogba was for a while. Like Chris Smalling is sometimes, like Antonio Valencia has been for the last 3.5 seasons, a player whose place in the starting lineup is so secure that they must be complacent. It's impossible not to be. No human can push themselves as hard as possible if they know that they're never going to be dropped. And Lukaku, I think it is now time to drop Lukaku. He's been terrible all season. He's scored a few goals. He's had some all right hold up play. But those goals have often been chances created by the people and have come in the middle of maybe 4 chances he's missed in that game. Lukaku against Valencia was one of the worst striking performances I've seen for a long time from a United player. And you see Marcus Rashford is trying harder than any other player on the pitch, and that's quite obvious to see. Marcus Rashford is creating more than any. He's so much more incisive than other teams. He had so much penetration to United's play. Even if it's not Rashford starting up front, even if we keep him on the left, because that's where he's doing well at the moment, change Lukaku, even put Alexis Sanchez up front, I wouldn't mind that. Maybe we'd get a different side of Alexis Sanchez out, but I think Lukaku has to be dropped, partly to send a message to him, but then it comes back to another point where I kind of contradict myself a bit, which is Mourinho seems to be sending a message to someone every week with his team selection. Sometimes it's a board, bringing Scott McTominay rather than Eric Bailly into a 3-man defence. Sometimes it's players, dropping Alexis Sanchez for the game against West Ham, dropping Pogba, substituting Pogba, etc, etc. It's always sending a message to someone. I don't know. And yes, I understand why he does it and what he's trying to do by sending a message to the board, by sending a message to the players. And I think he should drop Lukaku to send the message to him. But doing it every week, every game, you will never find a team that has some consistency, some rhythm, and they just have to build a rhythm up, because we're never going to get out of this bad spell where we haven't won in 4 games if we can't have that chance to build a rhythm up. And Rashford is someone who should definitely be starting the next few games. Just let him go, because young players off. Think back to David Moyes. Adnan Januzaj was the saviour a lot of times and kind of brought a bit of a positive mood back to United when he came into the side, scored against Sunderland. I think Rashford is going to have to be that person under Mourinho this time.
Yeah, I think you're right. Rashford was, I think, by far, maybe along with Shaw and potentially Pogba, our best players last night against Valencia. I thought going forward, you know, I mentioned about his corners earlier, which they weren't good, but doesn't take away from his overall performance, which was, I thought, very good, actually. He was the only one who looked like he was likely to create anything. He was beating his man consistently. And even when he went out to the right after Martial came on, he was still creating a lot. He does deserve a run of games, I think, because he's the only one of our forward players who has actually shown any kind of promise this season. Lukaku deserves to be dropped. He looked, to me, he looked absolutely shattered, honestly, for most of the game last night. But even if he isn't, just purely based on form, he deserves to be dropped. Not just on the basis of he looked tired. His performances this season have been completely unacceptable. Can't have that up front in our teams, because he just kills every one of our attacks. It's not just him, obviously. There are a lot of other players who are killing our attacks, but any time the ball goes up to him, it just comes straight back and it just puts us under pressure again. And even when he gets, probably the only thing that I can remember that he did pretty well yesterday against Valencia was when Pogba put a ball over the top, and he is quite late in the second half, and he got into sort of the corner of the penalty area, cut inside and tried to shoot to the far corner, and it was saved. And that's the kind of thing we want from him, but he's not even making those kind of runs anymore. That was pretty much the only time in the game where he even attempted one of those kind of runs.
Yeah, in terms of, is it all Mourinho's fault? That's a question I said we'd answer at the start of the episode. Firstly, can we blame the players? I think yes, to an extent. Every member in that United team has not tried hard enough at some point in the last 6 months or so. Every defender has made a mistake at some point in the last 6 months or so. Every attacker has. It's always been not playing well enough or could do better. And for certain people like Romelu Lukaku and Alexis Sanchez, can they do anything at all, which would be nice. Every player in that United side could have done more in the last 6 months, even in the last month. But it is the manager's job to get motivation levels up. And when he's bashing them every week, it's not surprising that they don't look like they're giving their all, because yes, they should theoretically. And yes, we think if we were in their position, we would be giving our all the time because you love the club, etc. But human nature dictates that you probably won't. If starting in pre-season, your manager says, no, we probably won't win the title. In pre-season, he says, last season was an overachievement. If he says, my players aren't good enough, if Mourinho basically threw the towel into the ring and then followed it behind and eventually caught up. And you just think, this is not the way to give your players confidence. And the big thing is, I'd accept it with some United sides. You could do this in the media to them. But this group of players is obviously lacking confidence, having had bad spells under Van Gaal and Moyes. But not only that, there are certain players in this side which are quite clearly confidence players. Lukaku, Rashford, Alexis, even Pogba, Shaw, Martial. There's so many players in this team that are undoubtedly massively boosted by confidence and look a completely different, terrible player when they don't have that confidence. And so, as a manager, you have to be able to note that and then treat them in a different way you would to another squad. And so, yes, we can blame the players partly, but a lot of the problems with the players originate from Mourinho or from other people at the club.
Yeah, I think the thing for me is that I said this after the Brighton game, and I stick by it now. If you put the whatever 11 players that we put out on the field every week, if I threw them onto a pitch without ever having met each other before, I would still expect them to play better than they have been playing. That's the first thing. So I don't think the players are completely free of any criticism. But ultimately, the buck stops with Mourinho. It's his job, like you said, to motivate the players, to give them the confidence that they need to go out there and perform, and to basically give them the conditions around them that they need to succeed. And it's the manager's job to understand what the conditions are that each player needs. And it's going to be different for different players, for different teams. Just because something worked 12, 13 years ago at Chelsea with a group of players, realistically, that were mainly from sort of a different generation of players, doesn't mean it's going to work now at United. And just because something worked with Inter Milan doesn't mean it's going to work at United, doesn't mean the same thing worked at Real Madrid. And as a manager, I understand that you have your ways, you know, you have your sort of ideas that you want to bring in. But you also have to be able to adapt and be a bit more flexible with people. I think that's partly what we've seen with Pep as well. In his first season at City, you know, I think he realised that exactly what he'd done with Bayern and Barca wasn't going to work. I don't think his current City side is exactly the same as his Bayern and Barca sides. But he managed to keep sort of the core ideas of his sort of philosophy and just sort of adapted it to fit what was going on at Man City and what he needed there to succeed. And that's exactly what Mourinho has to do. I'm not asking him to become Jurgen Klopp or to become Guardiola, completely change his management style. But he has to be able to adapt, even in little ways, to be able to fit whatever the players around him need. And that's what he hasn't done this season. And that's what really annoys me, because it seems to happen at every single club, that he comes in, players are willing to listen to him and willing to kind of go along with what he says for a year or two. Usually because it's bringing success to them, which obviously didn't really happen here. And then after that, they're just not willing to deal with it. And I think we're going through that exact period right now.
When he came in, he said he kind of needed to get rid of the sluggishness that Louis van Gaal had imposed on United. Do we think that has been removed? Because you still have players taking too many touches. You still have players taking a second too long to make a decision. You still have players passing backwards when they could pass forwards. Even simple things like receiving the ball on the half turn with your body open rather than Fellaini receives it with his back to the other team's goal. Same goes for Matic. It's only really Pogba who kind of receives it and straight away is looking forward, which is partly why Pogba is at a underperforming Pogba remains very important to this United team because everyone else is so terrible. Have we got rid of that sluggishness?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's just different... I think it just comes out in a slightly different way.
Yeah.
But it's still there.
But then, is the blame on Mourinho totally? Yes, partly for that. But this is the most the richest club in world football. And since Ed Woodward took over from David Gill as kind of in charge as chief exec or executive vice chairman, whatever, we have finished a certain number of points off the title every year, kind of 10, 15 points off the title every year, no matter who the manager is. David Moyes, we didn't sign. We failed to sign kind of Fabregas, Cruz. We ended up with Fellaini, Louis van Gaal. We signed Di Maria, Falcao, big names. Apparently, I saw something earlier this week that said we didn't sign Ivan Perisic 2 years ago because he wasn't enough of a marquee signing, which is indescribable amounts of anger reading that, because it's so indicative of the priorities of the Glazers and of Ed Woodward at the club.
And you're telling me Victor Lindelof is a marquee signing?
Yeah, exactly. And there's no structure at United which lends itself to success on the pitch. It's amazing commercially. But comments like, we don't need success on the pitch to have commercial successes. Yes, it's true, but you don't say those things in public. You don't even say them on a conference call to other businessmen. Woodward's amazing at getting noodle partners, tractor partners, red wine partners, releasing a 1968 European Cup tribute in the form of a whiskey. But there's no sporting director at United. It's not just that. Even if we do appoint a sporting director, I can almost guarantee that Woodward will try and interfere with their decisions, because he just seems like such a self-obsessed man that wants to control everything at United. And just because you can do a business deal with a noodle company does not mean you can do a deal with Barcelona, with Inter Milan, on Ivan Perisic, on Real Madrid, Gareth Bale. Just because you can be the richest club in the world in a certain manner doesn't mean that you can sign Neymar, Bale. And not only doesn't mean you can, doesn't mean you have to. There's got to be some kind of person who has some kind of football knowledge, instead of United being run by bankers and accountants who are only there to try and get the most money they can every year out of the club, which is like £80 million a year the Glazers are kind of earning. And will they sell the club? You can't see why, can you?
No, why would they want to sell the club? I mean, they're still raking in millions and millions every year, just making tons and tons of money. Don't really have to focus on what's going on the pitch. Leave that to Ed Woodward, who also doesn't really seem to care. And so for them, it's just a perfect situation. They're just making so much money.
They're milking the cash cow every year. But
yeah,
where would you rank the blame for the current situation at United? Because I think I'd go Woodward, Mourinho, the players. Although I was tempted to put the players second there, because every manager they've been under, they haven't performed. But the main reason that they're still at the club is because of Ed Woodward and the Glazers refusing to sell for maybe 1 or 2 million less and giving them these huge wages that kind of tie them to United forever, because we can't ship them off. So Woodward kind of at one at about 100 metres in the sky, and then Mourinho maybe, if we're going out of 100, Woodward maybe and the Glazers 80% of the problem, Mourinho 10%, the players 10%, kind of roughly. But I'm not trying to support Mourinho in saying this. The point is that any manager who comes in, and I think Mourinho has done so many things wrong, especially in the last two seasons at United, not necessarily his first season, he's done so many things wrong. But even then, the key problem at United is the ownership and the people running the ship. And that comes down to Woodward, because every problem that Mourinho has had can be linked back to Ed Woodward. Every problem the players has had can be linked back to Ed Woodward and the Glazers. It's just all down to them, and something has to change. And I don't think anything will. I think even if we bring in Zinedine Zidane, this humble, kind of charismatic and likable person who, when Real Madrid win the Champions League for a third successive time, he has to be encouraged. He's like N'Golo Kante. He has to be encouraged to take a picture with it because he's had his own success in his career. Even him, I think, 3 years down the line, we'd be in quite a similar situation, because he wouldn't get the backing from the board. He wouldn't be supported financially or in terms of... I think Woodward would try and interfere with his transfers in the same way as Mourinho, try and impose his own ideals on the side, which are big names and Galacticos. Woodward would be perfect for Real Madrid.
It's just so difficult. There's just so many issues. I think if we're talking about who's at fault for the current results, I put that more on Mourinho and the players than the ownership. But if we're looking at it in sort of the bigger picture of the sort of plight of United in general at the moment,
yeah,
definitely for me, the majority of the blame has to go to Woodward and the owners, because despite spending so much money, we still don't have... We should have a squad that is on par, at the very least, with City. judging by how much money we spent, and we don't. We should have, after, what is it now, 6 years? Oh no, not quite, like 5 years that Ed Woodward has been in this position now. After 5 years, three managers and countless signings and sales of players, Ed Woodward should be a competent chief executive or executive director, whatever his title is now. He should be far more than competent at his job, and he just isn't. He doesn't seem to understand the nuances of what he's doing. And there just doesn't seem, at the top level of the club, there doesn't seem to be any sort of real motivation to actually want to change anything, as long as the money keeps rolling in, which it is. Then I think, looking at it from Mourinho and the players, I probably would put them about equal in the blame, because the players have to buy into what's going on, but Mourinho also has to make the players want to buy in, and neither side has done that properly. I think if we were going to overhaul this squad and sort of start again with a new manager at some point, I would probably only want to keep about half the players that we currently have, and that says a lot about who the people currently playing for us. Because, like you said, although it's not exactly the same squad, the same core of players have been here definitely since the Van Gaal days, some of them even since the Moyes days, and absolutely nothing about the team has changed. It's been the same kind of results, the same kind of mentality. It's like, have a bad result with a very similar kind of performance every week, let the nice guy Matter tell us how much our mentality needs to change in his weekly blog, then come out and give the same performance the next weekend. And it's been that on repeat for the last 3.5-4 years.
Yeah, although, interestingly, Matter's blog this week did not contain any mention of the word hugs. But yeah, there's and it was said, this is not the time for blogs, which indeed was right. But we must move on. But yeah, there is no ambition at the top level of United, and that is the crux of the problem. And I don't think anything will change unless something changes there. It's not just down to the manager. Unless you kind of find a genius who is the reincarnation of Sir Alex Ferguson, obviously. Anyway, youth update. Man United's under-19s put in their best ever performance in the UEFA Youth League in midweek, beating Valencia 4-0 thanks to goals from Bowie, Chong, Greenwood and Bars. Absolutely brilliant performance all round, involving some stunningly good build-up play. And United have often underperformed in the Youth League, but this was fantastic, and they should make it through their group now. Mason Greenwood scored his 11th of the season in that game, his 8th game of the season. He's also made 3 assists in that time, and he signed his first professional deal at United after turning 17 this week, which is great news. Now, Newcastle United on Saturday, 5:30 kickoff at home. Tickets available, which is a rarity, and kind of tells you the dullness of United currently. There were also many tickets available for the Valencia game, even though the stadium ended up being pretty full for the game itself. But yeah, tickets available for the Newcastle game kind of gives you an idea of what's going on at United at the moment. Prediction?
Who knows? I mean, I want to say that we'll get back to winning ways, but I thought that about the Valencia game.
I thought that about the West Ham game as well.
I thought that about the Derby game as well. So
yeah,
it's pretty difficult. I will go with a win. I'll go with a very, very boring 1-0 win with a Rashford goal after starting up front.
Oh, brave call. I'm going to say a boring 1-0, a boring, scrappy 1-0 win we scored in the 76th minute, I'm going for. I won't actually put a bet on that because that'd be a massive waste of money, because I'll almost certainly be wrong. But
no, I reckon it'll be a relatively early goal. But then we're hanging on.
Possibly.
Kind of like Leicester in the first game of the season.
Yeah, I think either one of those two options is the kind of only thing you get with United at the moment. So either a late goal after kind of terrorising their goal for the whole game, but not in a very threatening way, or early and sit back. But yeah, I think I'll go late and I think I might go Rashford as well, but not starting up front. Lukaku to start up front still. And Rashford to start on the left and score. That's all we have time for on Series 4, Episode 8 of the Manchester United Weekly Podcast. Thank you for listening as always, even during this terrible period. 4 games without a win for United now. We haven't won at home for almost 2 months. Let's see if we can change that against Newcastle. For more from us during the week after the Newcastle game and so on, you can follow Jack on Twitter at
UTDTate, T-A-I-T.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Harry Robinson64 and the podcast itself at UTDWeeklyPod. That's P-O-D at the end there. Have a great week. Hopefully we can see some decent football on Saturday, but I really, really can't promise anything along those lines. Have a good week. Goodbye.
Social Podcast Network.